Our next presenter is Gary Gallo. Gary Gallo has been an ARSC member since 1982, a reviewer for the ARSC Journal since 1989, was the sound recording review editor of the ARSC Journal from 1995 to 2012, and co-chair of the ARSC Technical Committee from 1996 to 2004. He has been a frequent presenter at ARSC conferences and has authored several articles for the ARSC Journal. He recently retired after 35 years as audio engineer at the Crane School of Music, SUNY at Potsdam, New York, where he also taught courses in music history and audio technology. Not quite ready to quit completely, he now works half-time in that capacity. Mr. Gallo is the author of over 260 articles and reviews on both technical and musical subjects. He's a regular contributor to Audio Express magazine, periodically reviews books for Notes, Quarterly Journal of the Music Library Association, has written for the newsletter of the Wilhelm Furtwängler Society of America, and is the author of the loudspeaker entry in the Encyclopedia of Recorded Sound in the United States. His presentation is the other great Dane, Helga Rosvang, a 40th anniversary tribute. Mr. Gallo.
Okay, thank you very much. Nice to be here. There's a handout being passed around. Hopefully, you all have one by now. Next month marks the 40th anniversary of the death of Danish tenor Helga Rosvang. And today, I'd like to present a survey of his career and the unique qualities of his singing through a sampling of his recordings. Now, I have a 30-minute time limitation, so all of my recorded examples are fragments. Most are in print on CD, and I've included a list on the handout. Rosvang originally pursued an education as a chemist and was largely self-taught as a singer. He never became an international star. He spent his career in Germany and Austria, specializing in the Italian spinto and dramatic repertoire, and a few French roles, always singing in the vernacular, plus non-Wagnerian German tenor repertoire. Now, I've included some biographical information on the handout, and in the interest of playing as much music as possible, I won't spend any additional time on that here. Rosvang made his first records for gramophone Polydor in 1927, and over the next few years also recorded for Parlophone, Electrola, and Telefunken. The very first is Rodolfo's aria from the first act of Puccini's La Bohème. The voice is more lyric than it would become by the 1930s, and typical of Rosvang, it's sung in the right key with a solid high C near the end. He never seems to have transposed anything until very late in his life. Singers usually have large voices, or they have flexibility and high notes, or the ability to sustain a high tessitura, but it's rare for one singer to combine all of these qualities. By the mid-1930s, the unique combination of qualities that defined Rostvenga's art were emerging, and fortunately, HMV Electrola captured all of them in a group of recordings that remain his greatest hits, if you will. The Italian singer's aria from the first act of Richard Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier is written with a brutally high tessitura. One of Rostvenga's vocal idiosyncrasies was that his voice was a bit muscular, which makes it all the more remarkable that he seemed absolutely unfazed by the demands of this aria. The aria of Yuan in Weber's Oberon requires coloratura flexibility, plus the ability to pop off five high B naturals, and we'll hear two of them shortly. It became one of Rostvenga's signature arias. A tenor with a voice of this size should not be able to do this, but he does. This record shows one of his other vocal idiosyncrasies, a tendency to sing the closed vowels a bit nasal, especially in his low register, but this never seemed to get in his way. Oberon was originally set to an English text, and German translations were subsequently made. The translation sung by Rostvenga is not the one that was printed on the record labels. Rostvenga seemed to have high notes to burn, which made him a natural for the role of Chapelo in Adolphe Adam's Le Postillon de Longjumeau. This 1936 HMV Electrola recording is actually his third of this aria, and in my opinion, the best of all. Many lyric tenors, including Josef Schmidt, have transposed this aria down a half step, but not Rostvenga. In his earlier recordings, he approached the high D naturals rather cautiously. Now, as a fully mature singer, he takes no prisoners, and his full voice high D is typical of the vocal daring that characterized his singing.
Doch das Jahr der Freude weiche, für das der Königin erfand, für die verlassenen Inselreiche, ihn hat zum Könige ernannt. Ha, 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 ha,
Rosfänger said that he rarely listened to his own recordings, and when he did, it was only to learn from them. But he said Der Feuerreiter was his favorite record. By 1937, Rosfänger had established himself as Germany's leading non-Wagnerian dramatic tenor. That year, he sang Florestan in Beethoven's Fidelio for the first time at the Salzburg Festival. The role became one of his specialties. The opening scene in Act II starts on a G natural at the edge of the tenor's passaggio, a very difficult note for most tenors, especially to begin on. Rosfänger's vocal development and proper use of his registers made this easy for him, but he also possessed the smooth legato required for the lyrical cavatina and the flexibility and secure high B flats for the concluding portion of the scene. We'll hear just a portion of each part of this scene.
In the stream.
Freiheit, in Himmel ist er reich, sehr, sehr, wird sich zur Freiheit, zur Freiheit, in Himmel ist er reich, zur Freiheit, zur Freiheit, in Himmel ist er reich, in Himmel ist er reich, in Himmel ist er reich.
One would think that a Danish tenor with a large, well-developed voice would be a natural for Wagner. But unlike the other great Dane, Lauritz Melchior, Rosvenga was not. In fact, Wagner was not one of his favorite composers. He sang only one major Wagner role on stage, Parsifal, at the Bayreuth Festival in 1934 and 1936. Sadly, he never recorded anything from this opera. His commercial Wagner recordings are confined to three excerpts from Die Meistersinger, recorded for Telefunken in 1932, and two excerpts from Lohengrin, recorded for Electrola in 1942. He did sing several minor Wagner roles early in his career, including Froh in Das Rheingold, Walter in Tannhäuser, and the young sailor in Tristan. Rosvenga is often accused of being an impressive but insensitive tenor who simply sang loud all the time. It's true that he showed little restraint when delivering the goods required in dramatic repertoire, but that's only one side of his art. In this 1938 performance of the Hostias from Verdi's Requiem, Rosvenga begins in a soft mezzo voce. He really shows his solid technical foundation when he's able to increase and then decrease his dynamic level smoothly without any obvious shifting of gears. This is from the live BBC performance conducted by Arturo Toscanini. One of my favorite Rosvenga recordings is the first act duet from Tosca with soprano Margareta Perez, recorded in 1937. Rosvenga shows all of the characteristics of a first-rate and, yes, a sensitive Puccini tenor, a smooth legato, excellent use of his registers with a well-developed passaggio, and beautifully modulated dynamics. During the war years, the Germans made numerous broadcast recordings on magnetophone tape recorders, including a large quantity of operatic material with Rosvenga. The recordings captured him at the height of his powers as a dramatic tenor. In this confrontation between Don Alvaro and Don Carlo in La Forza del Destino with baritone Heinrich Schlusnus, his stamina in the upper register seems to have no limits, both on the A natural at the beginning of the scene and the B natural at the conclusion.
So hast du keine Botschaft von Alvaro, dem Mörder?
Ich bin verraten!
Verraten!
Deinen Eid hast du Frieden gebrochen!
Verbrannt sind die Briefe, das Bild hat gesprochen. Don Carlos de Vargas, ich bin es, ich bin es!
Von ihm wollte ich töten.
Beschütze mich Gott vor der Macht meines grausamen Schicksals. Ins Kloster entfliehe ich am heiligen Altar. Befrei ich die Seele von der Feindschaft und Qual.
In 1949, he made his first post-war commercial recordings in Switzerland for Decca. Rosfänger had always had a flair for Viennese operetta, which increased in importance for him as he got older. The Swiss Decca recordings consist almost entirely of operetta. Here he is in Freunde das Leben ist Lebenswert from Franz Lehár's Giudice. By 1950, he was back on the stages of the German and Austria opera houses with many of the roles that had become his staples. This broadcast recording of Verdi's Aida, made in Hamburg in 1951, had never seen a commercial release until Walhall issued it in 2004. Although his voice has become a bit more muscular, his power is undiminished, and those who consider him insensitive will note that he sings the last B-flat pianissimo, as Verdi calls for in the score. In 1967, Prizer issued the LP shown on the left, a record that contained 10 previously unissued recordings, including the arias from Donizetti's L'Elisir d'Amore and Gounod's Faust, sung for the first time in the original languages. The record was also included in the two LP sets shown on the right. The other record in that set was Rosfänger talking about his life and career. Now, Prizer offered no documentation on the unpublished items, but Gary Thalheimer believes, and I think he's probably right, that the 1949 original language recordings were probably made in Switzerland at the same time as the other Swiss Deccas, because he had also recorded arias from Aida and Carmen in the original languages, and those were published. So here is a bit of Salut de Mur from Faust. His French is, I think you can say, less than idiomatic.
Salut de mer, es fast a kill.
Rosfänger made only two appearances in the United States, both in New York City, a Carnegie Hall recital in 1963 and a recital at the Barbizon Plaza Hotel in 1964. Both were released in a limited edition LP set produced by a New York dealer calling itself The Record Album. In both recitals, he offered demanding programs of operatic excerpts and Lieder, and for the 1964 recital, at age 66, he returned to Ugo Wolf's Gesellenlied, the poet Reinach's commentary on masters and apprentices. My thanks to Seth Winter for alerting me to the existence of this set and loaning me his copy, which is in better condition than the one I subsequently found. In 1965, Rosfänger appeared in a production of Verdi's Un ballo in maschera in Cologne. This photo shows him in costume for that production with his second wife, Gertrude. The recording is from a two-LP melodrama set devoted to the soprano, Liana Zinnick. Rosfänger is 67 years old, in amazingly good voice, and he still had a high C. Finally, one of Rosfänger's last recordings, a private recording made in 1967 of the Spanish song, Ay, Ay, Ay. This first appeared on that Prizer LP of Rosfänger speaking about his life and career and has been reissued by Prizer on CD. As far as I know, this is the only time you'll ever hear him sing in Spanish. Now, to conclude, just a few discographic loose ends which are described in more detail in the handout. This Urania LP from the early 1950s contains one wartime magnetophone recording that has never appeared on CD, the aria from Mozart's Così fan tutte. This record is a sampler for the BASF LP series of wartime magnetophone opera recordings issued in the early 1970s. The sampler contains a Rosfänger recording not found anywhere else in the series, Tamino's aria from Mozart's The Magic Flute. It has never been reissued on CD. This 10-inch German Decca LP of highlights from Verdi's Un ballo in maschera was recorded in 1953. It has never been reissued, at least not on CD. Rosfänger's 1959 recital given in Vienna's Musikverein was issued on LP and CD by Prizer. If you have the LP, don't overlook the CD, because the CD contains one additional selection, the aria from Così fan tutte, which opened the program. This slide shows two incarnations of the same Telefunken LP. It has been generally thought to contain Rosvenga's complete recordings for that label. But a single disc, two sides of Carmen excerpts from 1952, is not on this LP. A bootleg 78 on the American Radiofunken label appeared in the late 1940s, and it also showed up on a short-lived Centaur CD devoted to the soprano Annie Frind. And finally, between 1930 and 1933, Rosvenga appeared on five gramophone polydor or bridged opera recordings. The Bohème recording was issued complete on LP by Melodrome, and the four Hoffman sides in which Rosvenga appears were reissued on LP by Prizer. The rest never appeared on LP, and none have been reissued on CD. Rosvenga left a large quantity of recordings, many of which are available on CD. I hope this brief survey will prompt further investigation of the art of this unique and remarkable singer. Thank you.
Thank you very much.